Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's been confirmed that a decision by UMPOS to close Bombeg Post Office has been upheld. There are further calls on the government to delay the arrival of asylum seekers in Mobile in the coming weeks so that adequate resources can be put in place. A Letterkenny parish priest has pleaded with Irish Water to temporarily halt planned works outside a church in the town in the run-up to the Christmas period. And the general manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club says the targeting of the club by vandals over the weekend is deeply disappointing following the Trojan work carried out ahead of the Irish Open. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a major search operation is ongoing in Buncrana for missing woman Jean McGahey. The 72-year-old from Derry was last seen in the Drummert Park area yesterday afternoon at around 4:30. Police have since confirmed that Miss McGahey's red Ford Fiesta was found near the beach in Buncrana shortly before 9 o'clock this morning. Searches are continuing this evening between Garda Síochána and the Lough Swilly RNLI. PSNI Inspector Shaf Ali has issued a renewed appeal for information.
We're extremely concerned for Jean and the fact that this vehicle has now been located. We are working very closely with our colleagues at the Garda in trying to locate Jean, but I'm just renewing my appeal here to see if anybody has heard or seen from Jean to contact either ourselves or yourselves as a matter of urgency. So Jean was seen yesterday afternoon at approximately 4:30 Sunday afternoon in the Drummard Park area of the city, heading towards the general direction of Buncrana. Sadly, though, we've had no further sightings of Jean since that one yesterday afternoon.
Obviously, her car, a Ford Fiesta, has now been found, as you say, in Buncrana. You'd hope to track the movements of the car. I presume CCTV footage on both sides of the border is going to form part of that investigation?
This is a high-risk missing person investigation, Donald. There's a lot of resources being put into place to try and locate Jean. We're obviously looking to locate Jean, but obviously we'll be doing some background work to try and trace her movements. We're working with other departments and our colleagues at the Garda to obviously try and piece together the movements from yesterday evening through to this morning. We are providing regular updates to the family and they're obviously very concerned for Jean, and which is why I'm renewing my appeal here for Jean or anybody that may have seen Jean to come forward.
It's been confirmed that a decision by UMPOS to close Bombeg Post Office has been upheld. The post office is one of 17 across the county earmarked for closure, with a number of confirmed closures already made after appeal submissions were lodged. Following an independent review of UMPOS' decision, as of the 1st of February next year, all services at Bombeg will be transferred to neighbouring post offices. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the disappointing news is a major blow for the community.
It's following on a submission that we submitted looking for an appeal to retain Bunbeg and indeed the other post office in the parish, which is Bernalac, which still hasn't been adjudicated on by the independent assessors. But there was thousands of signatures from local people, from business people, from different groups appealing to UMPOS to see sense and to keep these services open. Unfortunately, news has come through to myself today from UMPOS that the appeals mechanism has decided to favour UMPOS' decision and that the service will close from February. This is another blow to a community in what I believe were rigged terms of reference in terms of the appeal, and we see the outworking of that as appeal after appeal is now fallen, and the decision of UMPOS, whether it's now in Bunbeg, in Garda Hawke, in Dunfanaghy, in Burtonport, have all been upheld, and the community are all the losers in all of this.
And indeed, while the services from that were offered at Bunbeg Post Office will be transferred for elderly people, this is another blow.
When the post office in Gidor Station was being closed down, they were told that the nearest post office was Bunbeg. When Dunlewy was being closed down, they said the nearest post office was Bunbeg. When Crawley was being closed down years ago, they told them that the nearest post office was Bunbeg, and now Bunbeg is being closed down, and people are just livid. And this is, you know, at the end of the day, the decision rests within POS. But there's also a political decision here, and this is a government that does simply not care about rural Ireland.
Meanwhile, local councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osberg says in the wake of today's news, the community must now take action.
This is terrible, terrible news for our community that this state, that this government has failed to protect the very services that is very much needed to continue to survive as a community. The closure now of Bombay Post Office will not alone mean that we are losing a service, but we are also losing employment that is badly needed into an area that has been neglected since the foundation of the state by previous governments, by this government, and it's absolutely devastating news for our area. We must organise to protect our communities from these cuts, further cuts down the road. Politicians have done nothing but failed our community. It's very clear when you look at the employment, the immigration, the lack of services in our area, the announcement today that Bombay is going to go ahead and close. Politics is not working for West Donegal. Politics is not working for our Guildford community.
British Prime Minister Theresa May is continuing her attempts to sell the Brexit deal her government has agreed with the EU. She's given a major speech to business leaders in London on immigration. Meanwhile, a ministers' meeting in Brussels has heard the European Union is willing to extend the transition period to facilitate a trade deal. Eamon Tornsney reports.
The EU's chief negotiator has updated ministers on the state of play in Brexit negotiations. Michel Barnier says the focus of discussions is now on the framework on the future relationship between the UK and European Union, and the transition period could be extended. And he made this appeal.
Now, more than ever, we must all remain calm, and I will remain calm, and keep our focus on the need for the UK to leave the EU in an orderly fashion.
Speaking in Dublin, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says extending the transition is an option, but may not be necessary.
Our intention would be that extending the transition period or activating the backstop would never be necessary, and it won't be necessary if we can successfully negotiate a future relationship.
Meanwhile, in London, the British Prime Minister Theresa May explained the UK government's approach to immigration in the future.
It will no longer be the case that EU nationals, regardless of the skills or experience they have to offer, can jump the queue ahead of engineers from Sydney or software developers from Delhi.
Theresa May also informed business leaders the withdrawal deal has been agreed in full.
There are further calls on the government to delay the arrival of asylum seekers in Moville in the coming weeks so that adequate resources are put in place. A well-attended meeting in Moville on Friday night heard the decision to house around 100 people in the Castlemara Hotel is a done deal. Members of the community also voiced concerns that there was no consultation on the matter. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says the influx of people into the village presents a real challenge and more time should be given to allow the community prepare for that.
The community has no preparation. There's no additional resources identified, and a statement is made that this is a done deal. I think it's profoundly disrespectful, leaving aside the very serious issues of the distance that these families would have to travel to get to Dublin for all of their asylum application business. It will be the furthest direct provision centre away from Dublin. Huge strain on families to have to travel that distance around Sligo because they can't go through the north. So all sorts of issues at this stage still.
And while you are saying it's a done deal, you are calling on the Minister to delay these asylum seekers being housed in Moville so proper resources and other things can be finalised.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been no preparation, no consultation. The only thing they have done is inspected a building in Moville. I think that the way the local community in Moville and surrounding areas has been treated has been outrageous, really outrageous and disrespectful. So they need to delay this decision. They need to get the preparation right. They need to identify the additional resources for the community. And in my opinion, I have to say that's the least they should do. My opinion is they should review this decision entirely because, you know, the most important people, you would argue, are the poor asylum seekers who have come from war-torn and desperate situations. And here they are, been made to travel, hours and hours and hours.
The president of the Chamber of Commerce in Derry says the quashing of approval for the A5 Western Transport Corridor scheme is hugely disappointing and wholly unnecessary. Jennifer McKeever was speaking after a High Court judge quashed the Department for Infrastructure's decision to approve the project on the basis that there is no minister in place. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Derry Chamber President Jennifer McKeever says the High Court ordered a quash approval for the A5 scheme on the basis that it was not signed off on by a minister is a major blow to the Northwest. In a statement issued this afternoon, she says the shelving of the A5 project is the latest evidence that the Northwest economy continues to count the cost of the inability of politicians to form a government. She says when the scheme was approved, the business community in the Derry City cross-border region had high hopes that decades of lobbying had finally paid off. Now it seems, she says, we've been let down once again. Long-awaited work on modernising the Derry to Dublin route should be well underway, she says, but the power-sharing vacuum at Stormont has delayed this vital scheme further. Ms McKeever concludes, despite Brexit dominating the news, it can't be forgotten that issues of connectivity and access to staff, customers and markets continue to be primary concerns for Chamber members.
The general manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club says the targeting of the club by vandals over the weekend is deeply disappointing following the Trojan work carried out ahead of the Irish Open this year. A section of green at the entrance of the club was extensively vandalised at the weekend. A review of local CCTV footage is being carried out and anyone who may have witnessed any suspicious activity is also being urged to come forward. John Farren says it will take some time before the area can be fully restored.
Grass and lawns area that was developed around it has been significantly damaged with tire marks. Very difficult to reinstate it and it'll take a lot of time to get it right again, which is disappointing considering the amount of effort that the local community and Donegal County Council and everyone put in to getting the place looking well for the Irish Open and going forward. It's incredible that someone would take it upon themselves to think this is a bit of fun. We are looking at CCTV in the area and hopefully we'll be able to find out who the culprits were. Take months to put it right. It's not a great time of the year to be stating turf. So it'll probably be the early part of the spring before we get it looking right again. That entrance sign has become a focal point, and a lot of people getting their photographs taken there as a, you know, memorabilia and that. And obviously it's not going to look right now for quite some time.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive week-long Black Friday sale starting this Monday.
It's now 5:15 and time to lead a sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer and the curtain comes down on the Republic of Ireland's inaugural Nations League campaign tonight. With relegation to League C already confirmed, Martin O'Neill's side are in Aarhus to face Denmark with only pride to play for. The side will wear black armbands tonight as a mark of respect for the travelling fan who lost his life in Copenhagen yesterday morning. Kickoff tonight is at 7:45. Staying with that, and Seamus Coleman says no player should be called up for international duty just to try and secure their allegiance. Declan Rice and Michael Obafemi both qualified to play for more than one nation, a story which continues to make headlines ahead of tonight's game. Coleman only wants to play with teammates who want to be there.
Can't just be handing out international caps. It's the best feeling in the world and you've got to earn it. You can't just be given a cap just to tie you down or because the media say he could go to the north or he could go to England or he could go to Wales. You've got to want to play for your country and earn it.
There's plenty to play for in Gelsenkirchen this evening, where Germany play host to the Netherlands. A Dutch victory would secure top spot in Group 1 of League A at the expense of world champions France. Gaelic Games and Gwydoid will play Scotstown of Monaghan in the Ulster Senior Football Club Championship Final on Sunday the 2nd of December at Healy Park in Omagh, with the game having a 2 p.m. throw-in. Gwydoid came through their semi-final reasonably unscathed, dismissing Crossmaglen Rangers of Armagh on a scoreline of 4 goals and 12 points to 16 points yesterday. Dara O'Boyle scored a hat-trick in the first half in that game but says it could have been anyone as the game plan worked out for them.
Listen, it could have been anyone at the end of the day. We just knew the ball over the top and hope and just put the head down and it was open field once. We knew they had their high press and things like that. We had our work done and luckily it was myself now and twice through. I was passes, it was the passes and through, like, you know, head up, you'll see the likes of myself, Nisha and Michael Carroll and players like that coming through. When you've grass like that and a big pitch like this, steeped up, sure we'll take it any day.
The All-Ireland Junior Football Club Championship Quarter final is next on cards for Red Hughes as they were able to claim the Ulster title on Saturday night. They defeated Limavady by 2 points, 111-119, in a game that saw them trailing for much of the second half. A late Johnny Carlin goal turned the tide and put Red Hughes ahead with very little time remaining. Red Hughes will have a home quarter final against Dunedin Connollys of Edinburgh. Leave Colmkilla beat Dunedin at the same stage of the competition last year. Rugby and Sean O'Brien looks likely to miss the start of Ireland's Six Nations campaign. Leinster have confirmed that the Ireland back row had surgery on his broken arm and will be ruled out for between 8 and 12 weeks. Meanwhile, Robbie Henshaw will miss the Champions Cup games with Bath as a hamstring injury will sideline the centre for between 4 and 6 weeks. Dan Levy is out of Friday's Pro 14 meeting with the Ospreys with a neck strain. Levy was one of a clutch of Ireland players to return to their provinces ahead of Saturday's test with the United States. Kieran Marmion is back with Connacht, while Levy, Sean Cronin, Jack McGrath, Rob Kearney, James Ryan and Jordan Larmour have all gone back to Leinster. The Ireland coaching team have also confirmed that Peter O'Mahony suffered a dead leg in the win over the All Blacks but does remain with the squad. Lock Ian Henderson says Saturday's historic victory shows Ireland are on the right track ahead of next year's World Cup.
We're still learning, we're still getting better, we're still kind of learning from past performances, whether it be in the Six Nations, whether it be the loss in Australia in summer tour. We're constantly trying to get better and constantly looking to improve ourselves, and being able to beat New Zealand again probably gives us some sort of, like I said, reassurance that we are continuing to better ourselves.
Former Ireland prop Rodney Ayew has left Ulster. The ex-Connacht front row is joining English club Premiership club Newcastle Falcons. Ayew had not played for Ulster this season, having fallen down the pecking order at the Kingspan Stadium. Boxing, and Amy Broadhurst has joined Kelly Harrington in reaching the quarterfinals at the World Women's Elite Championships in New Delhi. The Dundalk light welterweight beat Armenia's Ani Hovsepian on the unanimous decision to set up a last eight meeting with India's own Kaur Bhatt tomorrow. There was disappointment for the other three Irish boxers in action today, with Michaela Walsh, Roscommon middleweight Aoife O'Rourke and Cavan flyweight Kira Smith all losing out. And finally, in darts, the 2019-2020 PDC World Championship will be the final act of Raymond van Barneveld's illustrious career. The five-time world champion has announced his retirement from the sport. Barney rose to prominence in the BDO, winning four Lakeside titles before his 2006 turn to the PDC. The pinnacle of his career was his epic 7-6 victory over Phil the Power Taylor in the 2007 PDC final at the Alexandra Palace. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, a Letterkenny parish priest has pleaded with Irish Water to temporarily halt planned works outside a church in the town in the run-up to the Christmas period. Work is due to begin in the Gortley area early next month as part of a major investment in the Letterkenny Surge Scheme. However, there is much concern that the work could prevent parishioners from attending various events and services in the Church of the Irish Martyrs. Father Brian Quinn says the work will cause untold chaos in and around the festive period and is calling on the utility to seriously reconsider its plans.
We are completely dependent on the goodwill of being able to use outside on the roadside the car parking on both sides of the road, but that there would be free flow. And the projected work is going to prevent free flow. On their website, it's a heading Christmas 2018. It says, in order to accommodate the Christmas period, works will cease in public roads at key locations from mid-November to mid-January. The one thing that I asked of the bodies is that they might consider us as a key location, but they don't, because they just consider the retail sector as a key location. I fully understand that, you know.
So effectively, what you're saying is that they're going to concentrate their efforts in Gortley because there aren't many businesses in that area that would have a lot of Christmas-associated traffic.
Well, you might need to talk to the businesses in this area, because the businesses also came to our meeting last week when we met the different agencies to have our discussions. And I humbly asked the powers that be to consider us for those weeks as a key location.
The solicitor of a cancer patient who was wrongly told she had tested negative for a cancer-causing genetic mutation has criticised the HSE for stating that it is an isolated incident. The woman was told in 2010 that she didn't have the BRCA gene, which increases the risk of developing breast and ovarian cancer. Casey O'Rourdan reports.
The woman recently learned that she has ovarian cancer and that she does in fact have the BRCA gene. She had tested for the gene in 2009 as she has a family history of the disease. The HSE has stated that all facts indicate that this is an isolated incident, while Health Minister Simon Harris says it appears to be human error.
So I've heard people use phraseology that would suggest that it was an error with the test. That doesn't seem to be the case at all. More a human error in transcribing the result of the test.
A report into the running of the National Centre for Medical Genetics, now the Department of Clinical Genetics, which is based in Our Lady's Children's Hospital, Crumlin, was carried out in 2014 after it emerged that patients who were found to be potentially at risk of inherited cardiac disease were never informed. It found that communication between senior staff was dysfunctional and that patients did not get timely access to genetic tests. A number of cases relating to genetic misreporting have been taken against the hospital in the years since then. The woman's solicitor, Kiva Haughey, believes that based on these other incidents, it's incorrect to refer to her client's case as isolated. She said the review of BRCA tests doesn't go far enough.
It has to be an all-encompassing root and branch review, full clinical audit of all genetic testing in this hospital over the last 10 years.
A review of 3,500 BRCA tests is due to conclude early this week.
Concern has been raised after the discovery of deer hooves hanging from a telephone wire outside Glenties. The discarded legs appear to have been sawn off by poachers who hunt the animals illegally in the area known locally as Beanna Bui. The issue of poaching has been prevalent in this area, with the large herds of deer roaming the surroundings of Glenbey National Park. Local man Joseph Brennan says, unfortunately, the trade of illegal venison tends to spike in the run-up to Christmas.
Particularly at this time of the year, in the run-up to Christmas, I mean, by all accounts, there's quite a lot of money to be made in the trade of illegal venison. And it is very sad then to commit this other foul act of sawing off the legs. They're not going to carry the legs with them, basically, in a small trailer or in the back of their Jeep or whatever. So they're leaving parts of the head, the antlers, stuff like that behind them on the hill. But this is a new act now to hang up the legs along the road for all and sundry passing by to see.
And finally in news, there are over 1,100 householders in Donegal in mortgage arrears. Latest figures from the Central Bank's Long-Term Mortgages Arrears in Ireland report shows that 1,129 households in the county are in mortgage arrears for over 2 years, while over 870 of those have been in arrears for at least 5 years. Catherine Gaffney has more details.
A new step-back finance scheme aims to enable some of the 1,129 mortgage holders in unsustainable debt in Donegal to stay in their current homes debt-free as long-term tenants of their local authority. The government-approved mortgage-to-rent provider Home for Life is spearheading the drive to help those in mortgage arrears. Under the scheme, a property is sold to HFL, then leased back to the state through the local authority, which in turn sublets the house or apartment to the homeowner on an affordable income-based rent basis. As part of the scheme in Donegal, the local authority would then undertake to provide for the ongoing long-term housing needs of the applicant and other eligible residents of the property for as long as their housing need exists.
For weather now, tonight will be mainly dry with variable cloud. A few showers may develop in the east of the province overnight, with some grass frost developing in places and lowest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a major search operation is ongoing in Moncrana for missing woman Jean McGahey. The 72-year-old from Derry was last seen in the Drummond Park area yesterday afternoon at around 4:30. It's been confirmed that a decision by AmPost to close Bombay Post Office has been upheld. Following an independent review of AmPost's decision, as of the 1st of February next year, all services at Bombay will be transferred to neighbouring post offices. There are further calls on the government to delay the arrival of asylum seekers in Moville in the coming weeks so that adequate resources are put in place. A well-attended meeting in Moville on Friday night heard that the decision to house around 100 people in the Cashelmara Hotel is a done deal. The general manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club says the targeting of the club by vandals over the weekend is deeply disappointing following the Trojan work carried out ahead of the Irish Open this year. A section of green at the entrance of the club was extensively vandalised. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast or from Main Evening News on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, November the 19th. The death has taken place of Billy Diver, 12 Carrickstrand, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his home this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Sandra McBride, Brahe, Portnabla, Dunfanaghy. House private, please. Funeral Mass in the Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Wednesday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Eamon McCullough, Chernisk, Castle Finn. Funeral from his late home on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castle Finn. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. The house is private to family and friends at the request of the deceased. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Tony Sheridan, Clondalen, Rathmullen. Remains are reposing at his home in Clondalen. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by interment in Rathmullen Cemetery. House private from 10:30 tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.